All right, welcome back to the Off the Road Trip podcast. We're joining Ryan Appleton today from the Lazy Tiger Hostel in Asheville, North Carolina. Where I'm joined with my business partner and co-founder of ITH Hostels, Robert Dyer. I'm here at the ITH Santa Barbara Hostel, hanging out with my good friend Yogi right there. And we're super excited to dive into a new episode and hear what's going on in Asheville and how your experience was and what brought you to doing this experience. I find that hostel owners are always very eclectic and interesting people at their core. So I'm always excited to hear. Let's swing it over to you, Ryan. Like, what was your first hostel exposure? Like, how did you get exposed to the industry?
Yeah, I appreciate you having me on. My first hostel was in Rome, the Yellow Hostel. It was a post-graduation college trip. There were six guys that went over there, and I'd done a little bit of traveling as a kid, but that was the first time, you know, without parents paying for it. And we did a two-week trip across Europe, and kind of the standard classic traveler mistake of over-traveling and overbooking. And so we did six cities in 2 weeks across the continent, and it was mostly drinking and running around and not a whole lot of sightseeing, but stayed in a bunch of hostels, met a lot of cool people.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, my first hostel experience was in Dublin, Ireland. I studied abroad there, and we started hopping around all over Europe in hostels, and it really, that was the first taste for me, and then I really had a yearning to try to see how we could maybe bring the industry to more fruition over here in the States. And it's been a wild journey thus far in doing so. Right now, how did you come up with the name, The Lazy Tiger?
The Lazy Tiger was kind of maybe the fourth or fifth attempt at a name. I really just wanted something like catchy and memorable and cool. So I went to school at Auburn, is where the tiger came from. And I always liked
the
idea.
Oh, cool.
I just like the idea of hostels having mascots, you know. I tried a few things. I did a long trip through South America and what was going with some Spanish words, and those didn't really play. And some of my redneck friends were like, what if we can't pronounce it? And so we ended up with something very easy and memorable, the Lazy Tiger. And here we are. So.
Wow. Are you from Asheville?
I'm not. I grew up outside of Atlanta. So I spent the majority of my time in suburban Atlanta and then moved up here in the end of 2018. So I've been up here about five and a half years now.
Very nice.
Now, what about okay, Bob.
Yeah, I was going to say, what made you decide on Asheville? Because there's a couple of hostels there, but how did you bring your dream to Asheville?
Yeah, so I wanted to stay in the Southeast. I didn't love the Atlanta market. And so I was looking around at a few different cities around the Southeast and, you know, looked at Nashville, looked at Charleston, looked at Key West, looked at New Orleans, and it was kind of this sweet spot of, you know, there's some competition here, some other hostels here, but they're both kind of small, cool, independent hostels too. You know, real estate was reasonably affordable as opposed to some of those other bigger cities and the type of traveler that comes here. So it's a nice mix of adventure travelers that want to get out and hike and bike and kayak. And then you also have the folks that want to hang out downtown and hang out at the breweries and go to the shows. And there's like there's plenty of folks that come into town that would be open to staying at a hostel, even if they hadn't already. And that's the market I kind of wanted to tap into.
Nice. I was to follow up with that. Now, how you did the amazing thing of building it from the ground up, which is pretty rare in the hostel world. A lot of times, you know, most people renovate older buildings, but why did you decide to go that route? And how did you go? Yeah. How'd you get there?
Yeah, I didn't plan on it. My plan was just like everybody else's to buy an old house and renovate it. And I just got up here and had a hard time finding a house that worked. You know, the city zoning was going to be tricky in the city limits of Asheville. They didn't really know what a hostel was, even though there's two here. I think those folks are kind of grandfathered in, and they kind of wanted to call me a hotel. And there's all sorts of regulations around hotels here in the city limits of Asheville. And so I found this piece of land right outside the city limits. It's only 8 or 9 minutes from downtown, but it's just over the line in the next town up. And they were much more open to doing business with it. Zoning was fine. And so I just said, well, maybe this is the best bet. I came up here just so naive, thinking I was going to be open in 6 months from when I moved up here. And it took me about 5 years. So I just missed the mark on that. But the cool thing about building by yourself is, or building from scratch, is you get to set it up exactly how you want. So I got to kind of lay it out perfect for my dream, and it just took a little bit longer and cost a little bit more.
That's an awesome experience, though, and so cool for, anyone listening that's in the same situation. Like, what a great insight. You might have problems in the city's ordinance that you're working in, but if you just go over an imaginary line into a different town or a different county, you might find that things are much more friendly to your business model and they're much more helpful, but you're still within the same market demographic target that you were looking for. So that's a great story there. And a great insight for people. And then the build to suit, that's such a unique experience for Hoff. Standard is how we started. We moved into a house that was built in 1886.
Oops, you're breaking up a little bit, Jimmy. He was saying, yeah, we started our hostel journey in a
You
house
use
from
the
1886 that was an older property. there he's back. What now that you've
yeah,
built the
but
property,
that
what?
built to suit it,
Yeah.
that built to suit is such an interesting experience.
Hindsight being 2020,
Yeah, Bob.
what did you learn from building to suit, Ryan?
I just learned how little I knew. I'm just an optimist by nature, so I just kind of thought everything would go fine. And then you talk to anybody who's ever built anything, and they'll tell you that's absurd to think that. And I got really fortunate. All my family is in commercial construction
Oh,
except for me, and so they were really good resources.
that's
My
great.
three consultants is what I called them. So I asked them all the dumb questions, and then I could have intelligent conversations with my builder. But yeah, it's just the really it's the decision overload that hits, right? So you just don't realize how many small decisions have to be made about what doorknob you want here and type of crown molding. I didn't know there was more than one type of crown molding until I got in. But it's just,
That's
yeah,
great.
you have to make a decision on everything possible and not just like, no, I want to run a hostel now,
Now, were you living there like
Oh,
on
that's a great
site
point.
or nearby to make sure everything was staying tight, or are you managing the construction from afar?
So I was living during construction, and my apartment was about a mile north, so I could pop in every single day. I don't know how crazy my builder was about that, but it was the I was able to keep an eye on things, which was nice.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'd drive by it every day, and it would drive me crazy when it'd be a Tuesday and I wouldn't see anything happening. And it's just how it goes sometimes. But builders and contractors, they have 20 jobs going on, but I had one care in the world, was to get this thing going. And so it was
All
an
right.
exercise in patience sometimes.
Yeah. Now, did you work in hostels before, or what kind of experience did you bring into this?
No, not at all. I mean, all my experience was as a traveler. I had a job in corporate America for 7 or 8 years doing software engineering and data analytics, which is, doesn't prepare you to run a hostel at all. And then I just slowly fell out of love with that work, gallivanted around South America trying to figure out what was next for me, and ended up staying at a bunch of hostels down there. So I decided that's what I wanted to do, and I had no, I mean, I had worked in restaurants and stuff, but no real lodging experience. So when I moved up here, I got a job at a bed and breakfast and worked there for 2.5 years. And it's obviously a very different product, super high end, but they learned a lot about hospitality. And I was doing mostly housekeeping there. So that's where I really cut my teeth on cleaning toilets and making beds and folding sheets and all the fun stuff we get to do.
Right.
Ha, that's great. Yeah, what are the other two hostels in town? You said you were the third one.
Yeah, so they're Bumpall and Sharky's over in West Asheville. I think y'all have talked to Joe before.
Yeah, we know Joe.
And then there's one downtown called Sweet Peas.
Oh, okay. And you, but you're the most recent Asheville addition to the hostel industry.
Yeah, they've both been open at least 10 years, I think. And so I'm the new
Okay.
kid on the block.
How do you find it? Is it, do you find that there's a bit of camaraderie? Like, a lot of times we'll meet up with other hostel owners and operators in the towns that we have multiple hostels operating in. Or do you find it difficult with that many hostels in town? How's that going?
I mean, no, I don't find it difficult at all. I don't know either of the owners. I certainly know people who know Joe, and everybody speaks highly of him. I don't know much about the folks that run Sweet Peas at all. I know some folks that have worked at both, and that's always kind of fun, just exchanging stories. And
sure.
I'm not one of these people that nowhere in my business plan did it say that other hostels have to fail for mine to succeed, right?
I agree so much on
there's
that.
Combined maybe 80 hostel beds in town and something like 2,200 hotel rooms. So I think there's a lot for us to grow.
So I so much agree with that. And that's why I think everyone should always be welcoming, excited to see small operators joining the market, you know, because that's just a sign that the market's getting stronger. Now, are you going to attend the North American Hostel Association conference coming up next month in April?
I'm not next month. I would love to. I'm currently still employee one of one and a half. So I have one part-time employee that helps me, but I do not have the staff to turn this off in April just yet. I'm kind of planting the seed for 2025 is the time for the team to be big enough for me to get on out there.
Nice.
Cool.
Now,
how about
I would say for your hostel, how are you differentiating yourself to try to appeal to the, you know, different than the other hostels in town?
Yeah, I think for me, I have a little bit more space for folks to spread out. So, I mean, obviously there's pros to being downtown where Sweet Pea's is, for example, but you're also kind of in a condo building in the middle of town, and you have to pay $20 a night for parking. And so there's just some things that come with that. I'm on about a half acre lot here with a quarter acre of green space in the back. And so I think it tailors probably more to the folks that want to come in, get out and do adventures during the day, mountain bike, hike, kayak, that kind of thing, and then come back and have a place to relax and lounge around. We have a big back deck that overlooks the backyard, a small creek that runs back there. So it's maybe a small bit of serenity in the pretty damn close to the city. So
very nice. Did you guys get many hikers from the Appalachian Trail passing through?
Not a ton. I get the occasional call, and we've had a few, but the closest exit point of the trail is about 30 minutes drive. So they'd have to shuttle down, and we're not too far away from Hot Springs, which is a trail town. So I think a lot of folks just load up there. I take care packages. I welcome folks to come.
Nice. Now, what do you use for your reservation software? Are you a CloudBeds person, or do you use like HostelSnap, or what do you find best for you?
I actually use a software called Servoy that I stumbled on. It speaks to how cool hostel owners are. I met this lady, this is back when I still lived in Atlanta, when I just had the idea, posted on some random Facebook group looking for WordPress advice. And she said, you know, I helped manage one down in Costa Rica, but she lived in Atlanta. And she's like, you want to grab coffee? And we met for 2 hours, and she talked about how all of their systems work, and they were on Servoy. And so that's been kind of in the back of my mind ever since. And it was way more affordable than CloudBeds. It has some kind of things expensive to be desired too. So I can see myself eventually switching to something more sophisticated, but for now it gets the job done.
Servoy. All right, cool. Yeah. There are a lot of options out there, and definitely you can find a good deal if you're willing to look for it. Now, did you end up joining the Hosteling US or US Hosteling, the gals that created that out of Denver there? It's the direct booking site for US hostels.
Yeah, I haven't yet. I've been keeping in touch with them. It's cool to see what they're doing. My marketing dollars are kind of few and far between right now. But when I presented at a group here locally not too long ago, and a common question that we got is like, you know, what kind of trade organizations are there? And at the time there were a ton, and so it's so cool seeing Sydney and them spin that up. I think the big challenge I face, and I'm sure y'all have seen this too, is it's not like it. Americans are scared to stay at hostels. You go to Europe, there's Americans all over the place. It's just that they don't necessarily always think that it's an option, right? When you're traveling.
Yeah, the awareness. Yes.
And so anything we can do to kind of spread that word is worth doing.
Absolutely. No. And that's a big part of why we're doing this here, is that awareness element of keeping, you know, the word out there and letting people know that there are so many cool hostels. And that's another great resource that's happening with City out there, and Thea working on that U.S. hosteling project and bringing all these good U.S. hostels. Yeah, and they have a great conference.
Out there and do a Western road trip and check out some of those.
Yeah.
I've been more houses outside of the U.S. than I have inside the U.S., and I need to fix that. So.
And you're always welcome to come stay at AICH. We'll put you up for free and happy to have you. That's one of the great things about being a hostel owner is we can all take care of each other in that way. And they have a great conference out there in Denver in November every year. That's another good one that if you can attend, a lot of great people go to, and it's just nice to be there and mix up ideas and share stories. So hopefully you can make it and attend some of those and meet some of your other fellow hostel owners there in Asheville. Now, is it picking up over there for spring break and business-wise and looking like on a comeback out of the pandemic?
Yeah, it is. It's starting to, I was actually downtown last night and it felt different. Like it felt crowded. You know, our busiest month is actually October. A lot of folks come in for leaf season and that's when it really explodes. And then it gets slow in the winter, slows down some. And then, yeah, getting around spring break is when it starts to pick back up. So excited to start getting more folks in town. It's been a labor of love fighting through the slog of winter a little bit as part of a new business. So very excited to get some warm weather and some warm bodies in here.
Awesome. Nice. Now, anything in closing that you would say to any prospective hostel owners or people that might be looking to come to Asheville to visit the Lazy Tiger? Closing thoughts from you?
Well, I mean, for visitors, I'd certainly love to have them there. Like I said, there's three great options here. I'd love for you to stay with me. If you stay elsewhere, I wouldn't blame you. I just hope it's not a hotel. But for any aspiring hostel owners, I would just say, just keep going. You know, like I said, I thought it was going to take me a few months. It didn't. Heard no a lot on anything I tried to do. And so if it's actually something you want to do, just keep chugging. The resilience is the number one key, I think. So.
So true.
Yeah, no, that's such so true. Stay with it. Stick with it. Don't give up. All right. Well, thank you so much, Ryan Appleton from the Lazy Tiger Hostel in Asheville, North Carolina. So much appreciate you taking the time to do a podcast with us for the Hostel Road Trip podcast. And stay tuned for this episode to be released on various formats. But thanks again. Bob Dyer, anything for you in closing?
No, thanks again, Ryan. It was great talking to you, and we wish you all the best. We'll be recommending you for any guests looking to go out to Asheville.
I appreciate it. Well, if you'll head out this way, give me a shout. I'd be happy to have you.
Same to you, man. Will do. Have a good day.
All right, take care.